Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Or burst pipes. I know probably some of our listeners are, particularly this time of year with the weather conditions. I myself have had a first hand experience of this week, and it is a bloody nightmare. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Our home squad with me this afternoon, quantity surveyor Patricia Power, and of course Jenny Sheehan from Workers Cottage on social media and Instagram, and interior enthusiast. You're both very welcome to the programme. Patricia, for people first of all maybe dealing, you know, with the likes of burst pipes in their kitchen or sitting room or wherever it is, where do you start in trying to address this?
Oh gosh, Andrea, it is everybody's worst nightmare, to be honest. I suppose what you have to determine first is what type of pipe is it. Is a heating pipe belong to your radiator system? Is it a water supply pipe, or is it a drainage pipe? You know, and I suppose the first thing to do is try and minimize the run off the pipe, try and close it off, or, you know, determine where it's coming from, obviously, to deal with it straight away. So I suppose in your own house, what type of pipe was it? What did...
Oh, the plumbers, the plumbers are looking into and dealing with all of this at the moment.
Was the leak visible? Like, could you see it? Was it above the floor, under the floor, coming from the ceiling? Where was it?
Oh, yeah,
no,
the water is coming up through the floor, or at the top of the floorboard. Yeah, so it's an absolute nightmare from that point of view. But I suppose for people, so the first thing is, I suppose, get in touch with the plumber, isn't it, really, Patricia?
Well, it's get in touch with a plumber, or do you know what? I suppose if it was to happen, like what you find happens a lot is the shower leaks, it overflows, it's coming down through the ceiling, or maybe, and look, there's several reasons for that. It could be a pipe burst, could be a slow leak that has built up, or it could be the drain in the shower is blocked. So, I mean, first port of call is you can ring a plumber, but you won't get one there within half an hour or an hour. You know, you could be waiting. So you kind of have to determine, I need to switch off this water if it is a flow of water, because you don't want it to get, if you can, that is. Otherwise, yes, you know, you're on to the 24-hour emergency plumber is what I would say to get them out. And the first thing they'll probably do is, where is your water supply coming in off the road or, you know, into the house to turn that off? That's what you want to do first. Prevent it getting any worse if possible.
Yeah. The other side of this, you know, though, Jenny Sheehan, like, I mean, from anyone that's dealing with this, it's the damage to your floors then, isn't it?
So bad. You know? And Patricia's so right. I'll actually put up photos on Instagram of where, like, it's such a good thing for anyone listening now to know, like, how do you turn off that water? Because there are little things outside the front door, outside the house, Patricia said, and there's a tap, usually a shut off valve inside. But if it does happen, it's a disaster. It is really bad. So your flooring is, you know, usually gone, especially if it's laminate. It's really, really difficult to replace laminate. So the preventative measure there for anyone is don't let it happen in the first place. If it does happen, dry it up as quick as you can. I would document everything just in case for insurance purposes. It's good for anyone to know. Dry it up as quick as you can and then get a dehumidifier in. They're brilliant anyway. Everyone should have one. Yeah. I love them. But that's a good idea to, you know, once you've stopped the water and you're trying to reverse as much damage as possible, try to get a dehumidifier into the room and you know, clean it out, or empty it out as much as possible, get as much water out of that. You know, they're excellent. Miko or De'Longhi, spend a couple of hundred euro on those. It's really, really good.
I presume she'll use it anyway.
Use it for anything. Use it for drying your clothes. They're the best things ever for drying your clothes and preventing. If you've any bit of damp at all in your house, a good dehumidifier is really invaluable. If you've solid wood floors, they can potentially sometimes be salvageable. You know, there are floor restorers out there. Sometimes putting something really heavy on the floor. This happened our floors at home in my family home. Solid wood floors that they went in and putting really, literally got sandbags in and flat, flat things on top of them and we weighted them down for a long time after drying
them. And that worked.
Sanding and then revarnishing and they're still a little bit warped, but it did, you know, it helped a little bit.
Would you recommend, Patricia, trying to salvage what's there or, you know,
looking
for something?
Oh God, you're very positive, Jenny.
I know.
That sounded like a lot of work.
It didn't work great, if I'm honest.
Yeah. It depends. Like some surfaces are very forgiving. I mean, if it does happen in a kind of west room area where there are tiles, you're probably okay. But when it comes to timber and it gets wet, the drying, it shrinks, it warps, you know, it does kind of do that little U shape. So it is hard, to be honest with you. It's down to the situation and you kind of have to judge it when it happens. That's what I would say. But more than likely, carpet's definitely probably gone. It's not going to dry out. It's going to smell. Wooden floors. Look, you could do what Jenny did, but there is a lot of work in that. Sometimes you're just better off just to give in and just replace them. But it is a knock on if you are into replacing floors, then it's taking off skirting boards, and then it's the damage to the walls. So you're into repainting, you know, walls, new skirting boards, new flooring.
It's endless.
Yeah, it is endless. You know, it's the knock-on effect that you have to remember.
087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp number for listener questions. This listener moved into a new build just in 2024. Since we've moved in, we've had issues with a leak in the shower. They eventually fixed it in the summer of last year. If the leak comes back, is this covered, do you know, with our home bond insurance?
Yeah.
Home bond is structural, as far as I know. Okay, so that's down to the structure of the house that you purchased, and that covers that element. That should be covered, in my view, if there's a leak, it should be covered under your reinstatement insurance. That's the insurance it should be under. Like if you are, if there's a damage, if there's a leak, if there's a roof leak, once you've gone over kind of the defects liability period, which is normally 12 months, then to me, it's your reinstatement, it's your home insurance as opposed to home bond. My understanding of home bond, it is structural as opposed to leaks.
What would you advise them to do, Patricia?
Well, hopefully it won't come back. Hopefully the leak has been rectified, and you've done it within the first 12 months. And I presume it's the original developer or builder came back to remedy that leak. So hopefully it won't come back. I suppose I always like, and that's just maybe the nature of me, I like to inquire when I have a plumber in the house or electrician, what happened? Where did it occur?
Yeah.
And, what did you fix? Let me, it's good to ask those questions. So then it prevents it possibly in the future, if it happens again, that you're straight in there, the issue, to explain to somebody else.
Siobhan has got in touch, Jenny. She says, what spec should I be looking for when I'm getting quotes for replacing my double glazed 1990 windows? I need them to incorporate ventilation as well, and I want to do the job right.
If you're replacing your double glazed windows already, I mean, that depends on a huge amount of factors. And I don't know if ventilation necessarily needs to come from your windows. You might be better off at looking at that in other parts of the house. There isn't a massive, I don't think, in my view, difference between double glazed and triple glazed. So depending on your budget, you're probably fine sticking with double glazed. And the second thing you need to ask yourself is what surround do you need those windows to be? So the optimum, in my view, is Aluclad. That's something that lasts pretty much forever. I also really like wood. There's a little bit of maintenance in it. PVC is not, suboptimal, but obviously quite a bit cheaper if you're going to the expense of replacing your windows. I go for Aluclad. If you really need ventilation, most modern windows these days have the mechanism where you can open them a crack and then lock them. So if that's what you're using for ventilation, that's fine. But it wouldn't necessarily be the primary source of ventilation in your home.
Patricia, listeners wondering who's the best person to contact to assess if you have dry rot in an old house. Given limited means, what costs could one be looking at to try and get rid of it and make necessary repairs? It's a hugely stressful situation. I don't have money to do it, but I think it's spreading.
I think it's spreading. Okay. Well, obviously you can see it. It's visible wherever it is, probably more than likely up in the rafters, in the attic space. So there's preservation people that come out, will do an inspection, do a report, and they will quote you for, if it can be sprayed, it can be treated and can be salvaged, or possibly you'll have to get that done and replace some timbers completely if they are gone beyond repair, and they're structural. There's people like Quigley Preservation would come out and do that report. And at the same time as the report, they'll give you a quote for the work that they deemed will be required. And look, you're not into 5-digit figures, but you're definitely into 4-digit figures is what I would say, but
that's the kind of money you're talking about.
It's not going to get any better unless you actually deal with it. It's only going to get worse. Okay. So you do need to action that.
Listener lives in a bungalow with a large attic space. I'd love to convert this area to a second living area. I would like to add the Velux window to the back of the house roof so there's no change to the front. Do I need planning permission?
No, you don't typically need planning permission to update your attic, and if you're adding only a Velux, that should be fine as well. The only problem there is overlooking, but typically in the back of a house, you typically don't need planning permission if you're not planning to extend out or anything like that.
Yeah. Have you any advice, Patricia, too, for that listener?
What I would say is, look, do it once and do it right, you know. Yeah. So look, and when you say habitable, like, it really, it shouldn't be a bedroom, you know, as such, unless you go for planning permission. And if you are going to do it, you have to make sure for escape purposes, for the, you know, and for fire purposes, that it's safe, you know, from, if they can't use the first port of escape down the stairs, that they can get out through the Velux, as in it's top hung, it's at the right height, you know. So there is considerations to be given. That's what I would say, you okay. know. And look, it depends on your floor to ceiling height already in the attic. And, you know, a room should be kind of 2.2, I think, is the minimum. So you need to see what floor to ceiling height you can get and how usable is the space. It might be worth bringing in an architect and actually doing it properly and putting on a dormer, going for planning and making it a proper room.
Listeners wondering, you know. Jenny, and they've sent in a photograph here in WhatsApp, 087 1400 106. I have a Roman blind in the front room. I hate it. I want to get curtains. Need to get them lined as well, as the front of the house is quite cold. Getting them made seems expensive. I'm wondering, what way should I hang the curtains, or have you any suggestions on blinds?
Okay, so I see the photo here, and the issue I think the listener is having is that the window is slightly off centre, which is a little bit frustrating. What I love, and it doesn't really matter how big the window is, you could do wall-to-wall curtains. You've got quite a bit of wall on either side there, but if you're looking, you know, the listener said in her text that, that there's a big issue with heat escaping at the front of the house and looking to get them lined. And if you're going down that route, it can be expensive because you're looking at a lot more fabric, and I know that that is difficult. But if you're going to do it in the first instance, I think wall-to-wall curtains, or at least quite a bit wider than the window that you have there, would look really, really good. And hang it, you know, as close as you can to the top of the ceiling. I think the window we're looking at is fairly high. But my overall advice would be, go bigger than you think you need to. Don't get, you know, don't scrimp and waste money on curtains that are going to be a bit too narrow. Okay. I'd hang them quite wide of the window.
Patricia, this listener has a small bathroom under the stairs. It's a 3-bed house with a main bathroom upstairs and an ensuite in one room. There's only two of us in the house, so we never use the little one. I'm quite tempted to rip out the bathroom and turn it into storage space, which we could actually do with. Am I mad to devalue the house like that? We intend to live here for the rest of our days.
Well, it's not even like, it's not even the devalue, right? It's usable, using that space when you're older, and maybe getting up that stairs might be a bit more difficult. And to have a downstairs bathroom, shower, toilet, you know, if you do have to live downstairs, I think is always a good option. That's just my view. I find a lot of people on the plans I see are planning for the possibility that they have to live downstairs. So I don't think I'd get rid of it, to be honest. I'd look at an alternative way of adding storage, maybe up on the first floor attic, you know, see if there's any other nooks and crannies they can create from.
Okay. Listener has a long crack in the wall that has been there over the last decade. It's getting worse though. I'm assuming it could be due to buses and traffic on street outside. I'm wondering, should I be worried, says this listener?
You'd have to get somebody in to look at that, because you can have cracks on walls that are just on the facade, and it's a little bit, you know, it can be covered up with a bit of plastering, and that's absolutely fine. Or you could have a structural crack, and then you're into real issues. So I would absolutely get somebody qualified out to make sure that what you're looking at there is not going to spread and cause structural damage.
Okay. And just finally, and listeners wondering about windows and Aluclad windows and getting different types, what questions do you ask people when you're going to window suppliers?
When you're going window shopping, I would, first of all, I'd bring photos of your house. I think that's really, really helpful to whoever you're speaking to, because they can understand the style, they can understand what goes well. And the second thing is not necessarily asking your window supplier. I would ask them things like warranty and, you know, what costs are involved in terms of fitting and supply and all that kind of stuff. So make sure that you're really aware of all that. I'd also ask your neighbours if you can. So if you're living in an area where houses have been done up recently, I would go around to any neighbours who have nice looking windows or new windows and ask them, where'd you get them? What was your experience and who would you recommend?
What would you add to that, Patricia, finally?
Yeah, look, I'd absolutely add to what I would say is, what's just as important as picking your window, whether it's double or triple, and picking the colour and picking the handle, etc., is the installation process. If they are not installed right, you're throwing your money literally out the window. The installation, you'll find houses built in the kind of 1980s, 1990s, where, you know, we were single glazed and we moved into double glazed industry. The install was really poor. They were pinned in windows with there was no foam. There was no kind of air tightness at all back then. So the installation is so important, that whoever is installing, one is you check how they plan to install. the damage that could possibly be done? Are they going to place your window boards? What are they going to do? What air tightness method did they use after they installed the windows? Because you can install the nice, prettiest windows, and if it's not installed properly, the air is coming in all around them and you're wasting your money. So the install is just as important. So you need to query
that. That's a good point.
And, you know, these people you're bringing into your home, you have to ask them, what are they going to do? Are they going to protect your floors, your carpet? You know, because they're going to take out windows and they're going to put in windows in wet weather, dry weather.
Yeah. So you're dead right, because the working methods, their approach. The marks that were left on the wall of my house are just unbelievable. Quality surveyor Patricia Power, Jenny Sheehan, Workers College and Social Media. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here on the programme. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.